Hello, I'm John Jason with the BBC News. The Russian President Vladimir Putin has strongly defended his country's military operations in Syria, saying the aim is to stabilize what he called the legitimate authorities there and to create the conditions for a political compromise. He said that without Russian support for President Bashar al-Assad, there was a danger that terrorists, as he described them, would take over Syria. Sarah Rainsford is in Moscow.
Mr. Putin insisted that Russia was a peace-loving nation, but he was in typical forceful form. He said the barrage of brand new cruise missiles fired at Syria last week showed the world what high-tech modern weapons Russia has and that it's ready to use them to protect its interests. As for warnings that he's only increased the risk of a terror attack here, Vladimir Putin argued that it's better to target Russians fighting with IS in Syria than to let them gobble up that country, as he put it, then bring their jihad back home.
The Iraqi military says its air force killed several senior members of the Islamic State group in an airstrike in the west of the country on Saturday. The military initially suggested that the IS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was among those killed, but other sources say this wasn't the case. Sebastian Asher reports.
The first statement from an intelligence unit in the Iraqi Interior Ministry said that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was the target of the attack. Instead, he was taken away from the scene and his condition was unknown. But various sources now suggest the IS leader was not there at all. This is not the first time that such reports have surfaced about the elusive al-Baghdadi. But witnesses on the ground say that an airstrike did hit an IS meeting and the group has taken casualties.
A British military helicopter has crashed in Afghanistan, killing five of those on board and injuring five others. Shaima Khalil reports from Kabul.
The Puma helicopter crashed as it was landing at NATO's Resolute Support Mission headquarters. It is NATO's current train, advise and assist mission in Afghanistan. A spokesman said an investigation was underway, but confirmed the crash was an accident and not the result of insurgent activity. This comes just hours after an improvised explosive device struck a convoy of UK military vehicles in central Kabul.
An Iranian court has convicted a Washington Post correspondent, Jason Rezaian, who's been accused of spying. A judiciary official quoted by Iran's official news agency said no further details were available. The Washington Post foreign editor, Douglas Jale, called the ruling vague and said it was unclear if he'd been sentenced.
We've now heard from the Iranian government that a verdict has been issued, but that it's not final and that it's subject to appeal. That's really all we know. And unfortunately, it reflects a continued pattern of mystery, opacity, and gamesmanship surrounding the way Iran has handled this case. You know, the only thing that's been clear in this case from the beginning is Jason's innocence.
You're listening to the latest world news from the BBC. The governing African National Congress has passed a resolution for South Africa to leave the International Criminal Court. South Africa has been criticized for ignoring an order to arrest the indicted Sudanese president, Omar Bashir, when he attended a conference in Johannesburg in June. Parliament must now decide if South Africa is to withdraw. The Mexican Attorney General has made public the file on the disappearance of 43 students last year. Candice Piet reports.
The Attorney General's office said the document had taken around 100 investigators 7 months to compile. The disappearance of the students has deeply embarrassed the government of Enrique Peña Nieto. Relatives dispute his government's account that police in Guerrero State handed the students over to a drug cartel who killed them and burnt the bodies. And an international panel of experts said it had found many flaws in the investigation.
The centre-left Social Democratic Party in Austria has held on to power in the capital, Vienna, withstanding a challenge by the far-right Freedom Party in municipal elections. The election was dominated by concerns about the economy and immigration. Vienna's Social Democrat mayor, Michael Heupel, said he had mixed feelings about the result.
I've got mixed feelings, but when it comes down to it, naturally, with all due respect and humility, I'm not happy about our losses. But under the circumstances, I can live with the results. The refugee question was not my preferred topic, but I think it's important if people come to us fleeing murder and terror or starvation in the refugee camps, we need to help them in an appropriate manner.
President Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus has won a fifth term in office with almost 84% of the vote. No other candidate achieved more than 5%. In 2005, the then U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice described Belarus as Europe's last dictatorship. BBC News.